Welcome to Help and Hope, a weekly podcast from CCEF. This week, we continue to listen in on part of a recent conversation we had with CCEF faculty member David Powison. David talks about the many sinful ways we respond to suffering, contrasted to how Jesus suffered. Hear now, Help and Hope.
I think it's Psalm 55 where David says, "Oh, I wish that I were a bird. We could fly away to the desert." And I take that as, now that's the impulse that generates sinful escapism, but it's also an honest impulse. The honest part is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Oh, Father, take this cup from me. I don't want to go through this." And if he didn't have that, he would seem unreal. He'd seem like he'd seem inhuman, but he's human. Of course he doesn't want to suffer, but he's a human in the image, in his own image. He's himself. He's the Redeemer. He has come to bear suffering. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And that willingness to enter suffering. Suffering is unpleasant. Suffering is a displeasure and not a pleasure. And there, the experience of it, the unpleasantness of it, which we all tend to have more sympathy, but, none of us wants people to suffer or wants ourselves to suffer. There's an unpleasant quality. But then part of our sinfulness comes out in our displeasure at having to face what is displeasing to us because it's unpleasant. And in a world that is such as this one is, where a world beset with evils, for me to choose pleasure and or what is pleasing, or what pleasure sounds more active, like going to a party life, maybe to choose the pleasant life, to choose what is pleasant rather than what is uncomfortable. Love is uncomfortable in a world such as the real world we live in. So, and that is a lesson I've learned 1,000 times, and if I live so long, I'll learn another 1,000 times the same thing. I remember another lady who had some really difficult things in her life. She was an older woman, older than me anyway. She'd been abused. She'd grown up in a very rotten family. She had endured some real difficulties with her children. Some difficulties in church. Just life, hard things that happened. There were redemptive things in her life, too. When she suffered, she would just get completely bent out of shape. It would just agitate her. She would just be filled with turmoil and frustration, stress. And she had a temper. She would get distressed. She'd get hyper. She'd want to fix it. So whether it's anger, distress, temper, frustration, bailing out of relationships, aggression, being real busy to try fix things. Fix. And it was incredibly freeing for her. I think the thing I said to her in a larger context of our discussion was, when your daughter does this, it just hurts. And with that, the fact that there's a validity to a sort of purity of the pain experience of being rejected allowed her, it just hurts. Well, that allowed her to start to sift out, where is it that I'm just so offended? Where is it that I feel sorry for myself? Where is it that I am tempted to go on a shopping binge? Where is it that it's all the things that I tangle into the hurt that make the hurt complicated, make it devastating, make it despairing. I'm a failure as a mom, family's a failure. So whether it's despair or anger or shopping binges or anxiety or just being agitated and distressed, it was very freeing for her to be able to say, "It just hurts." And then that led her that seizing hold of that allowed her to both start to sift out her various sinful reactions, and it allowed her to find Christ as her refuge and to sort through what she was really living for and who he is and what he means to her. The savior from those sinful reactions, also the refuge in the midst of suffering. You know, there's some just tremendous psalms. Psalm 31 is one that's been very meaningful to me, and I've probably shared it with this woman, because that's so often how ministry works. But it ends with this. It's a psalm that's on Jesus' lips on the cross. It's his last words, you know, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And the psalm is full of anguish, anger. It runs the gamut of emotion. Among those emotions, towards the end, is that it is one of the most tender psalms, where it describes the secret place of God's presence, that he's fashioned a safe place from the strife of tongues. And it uses very intense, "He's wrought this place for me." And so he's made a refuge. And it's a place where he is, and it's a place of intimacy and safety. You know, and it's interesting that even a couple lines later, there's this kind of hair stands up on the back of your head, you know, where I was in a besieged city, I felt so threatened. And then it again camps back on the trust. Mm-hmm. And that song's particularly interesting because it evokes the experience of suffering and threat. It evokes the experience of safety and refuge. And then it ends with this call to action: "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord." So it doesn't even make the comfort and consolation of refuge be an ending place. In finding that, it leads to a life of courage, the fearless courage, the wise love. The peace of God outweighs the suffering. I mean, you think of some of these, like, "It is well. It is well with my soul." You know, "Though Satan should buffet, though, and all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." And that is true. This is that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the promise of peace and the presence of our Father aren't just religious theories and niceties. If we seek him, we find him. And he brings comfort and he brings joy. It has happened so often in my life that it's hard to even pull out moments, because it has been such God's... it's his revelation of himself to us. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, if I were to look at the human end and leave in God's hands the fact that he is the one who shows himself, and he is the one who even animates the desire to want him to show himself. But if I were to talk about it purely from the human experience, it's that the kinds of things that the Psalms do, that Jesus, I think, is encapsulating when he says, "Ask, and you will ask and you'll receive. You know, seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened." And then the question comes down, like you were saying earlier, or one of you, you know, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Do you ask? Do you seek? Or do you talk about seeking?
It starts with us asking.
From our end, it starts with needing him, this mm-hmm. to be so. I need him to be who he says he is. We could put in that wonderful C.S. Lewis quote on need love, which is one of my favorite. You know, that he says man's love for God is largely a need love, that he says we're aware of this when we, and he's so comprehensively, wisely Christian in this, you know, when we beseech forgiveness for our sins and comfort in our afflictions. And he says, but it should be a growing sense that our entire life is a vast need. It's a vast need for redemption. To the God who can't capture the God who ties up things that dangle loose and unknots things that are tied too tight, and that the awareness of our need for help, that we then ask the God who promises help at exactly that point. And is that the first beatitude is so fundamentally true that it is the poor in spirit who are blessed. And the poor in spirit are those who know that they are desperately needy. And they are desperately needy for help outside themselves. So the sense of desperate neediness doesn't generate self-effort and self-trust or putting on a front or, you know, whipping out your resume to try to prove that you really can do it. Mm-hmm. It leads to what a beggar does. A beggar asks for help, and a drowning person cries out for someone who's strong enough to save them.
Thanks, David. May we be unashamed to be beggars and drowners, remembering the great provider and rescuer we have in Christ. These free podcasts are made possible through the generous help of our listeners. To find more podcasts and to learn how you can help keep future podcasts coming, please visit www.ccef.org. As we begin to enjoy the flowers and warmth of spring, November seems like a lifetime away. But November will come, and with it, the CCEF National Conference. This conference increases in popularity every year. Don't wait too long to register. Early bird registration discounts expire June 30th, so go to www.ccef.org and register today. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week for more help and hope.